Chapter 2. The Darklands. The flames flickered and wavered in the light breeze. The dry wood Kainani fed to them throughout the night was all but gone. With daybreak nearly upon her, though, and her belly full, she was content to see it die. Night travel would have surely been more comfortable. The Zavion heat was deadly if one was not prepared, but other such dangers made that choice foolish. The Kaja stood and plucked the previous night's dinner from the ground. The fox was nearly picked clean, but there were still a few places where one more bite would be satisfying. Kainani quickly set to work at burying her meal and the campfire. There were hunters out in the wild far craftier than her. She wouldn't give them any more knowledge about her if it was possible to remain discreet. Once her previous night's endeavors were hidden, she set out to continue her journey. The memory of her grandfather's map would have to serve her well. There was no way she could risk leading enemies of her tribe to Irineth's den. That would spell doom for all the Kaja of Zavion. She wouldn't need a map to tell her she was heading in the right direction, though. As the golden sand gave way to a dismal gray, it was apparent she drew near to the Darklands. Creatures the likes of which she had never seen dwelled inside that place, but if she kept at the top of those stones, she would endure. Still, the warnings her grandfather had given to her echoed in her mind. As she approached that dreary gray landscape, she could not help but be drawn back to the oasis.
"If you lose your footing and find yourself below the high rocks, drop everything," Haimedo insisted. "Neither your pack nor your staff are worth your life. Leave it and find some other way to press on."
"But, Grandfather," she protested.
"There are worse things out in the world than coyotes and vultures. The creatures that dwell in the dark lands will find you with ease if you travel along the surface. You must keep to the rocks. Do you understand me?"
Kainani swallowed away the tension before she nodded. "I don't know whether I'm right for this," she pressed again. "I'm not meant to travel. I'm meant to fight and to lead."
"Then you have never been more ready for this, child. This is a great honor, and you will hear the call before long. You'll still fight and lead, but you are not meant to lead the warriors of this tribe. Not alone."
"Kainani!"
a call echoed into the air. She stood and furrowed her brow, spinning on her heel.
"That's Barriss," Haimedo's pupil said. "He's heard of my decision, no doubt."
She crossed her arms and waited for that canvas flap to open. Haimedo stepped forward, shielding his granddaughter from sight, as Barriss entered with excitement. The former dragon speaker bore a wide smile, one shared by the visitor, though his gaze was drawn to the female behind the fire.
"I see you've heard of the choice."
Barriss shifted his attention to the elder Kaja. The future chieftain looked on with pride and clapped his hands together. His attire lent itself to that stately appearance, but even Kainani had to admit she'd never seen him beaming so prominently.
"It was surprising news, to say the least," he said. "I don't think anyone expected your fierce granddaughter to follow in your footsteps. Are you sure you haven't had one too many fire dreams?" he teased.
Haimedo smiled. "I know it seemed you were a clear choice, but your destiny will lead you elsewhere. You have many other great things to do."
"If it's anything like I've been told in the past, it is not even a decision that was yours to make. Fate decreed Kainani take on this duty. I would taste a lie in my mouth if I was to say I wasn't disappointed, but if it had to be anyone else, your granddaughter is a noble successor."
Kainani sighed and tightened the cross of her arms. That provoked a laugh from the visitor. He shook his head and took a step closer to the would-be dragon speaker.
"This is a great honor, my friend. For some Kaja, this is a dream the likes of which none could hope to see come true. You'll be the talk of the oasis for months to come, I'm sure."
"Years," Haimedo corrected. "If she stands with a dragon at her side, she will stand upon a dais in the minds of our people."
"And we will be lucky to stand beside you," Barriss conceded.
"Just make sure the dragon you choose prefers other dwellers of the deserts to us Kaja, eh?"
He clapped the elder on his shoulder and made his way back through the canvas flap, but couldn't resist the urge to turn back to the future dragon speaker. Kainani rolled her eyes at that sight.
"This is ridiculous," she said once she was sure the burly male had moved on. "It's too much." "You would have seen the same adulation if you were the next chieftain," her grandfather bade.
He gripped her shoulders, steadying her, and looked into her eyes.
"The only difference now is you'll have to aim your energy in a different way. Trust me, child. This is an opportunity to elevate you higher than you ever dreamed, in so many ways."
The threads of fate were not meant to be crossed, and this is what they've found for you. If Barriss believes in you, shouldn't you believe in yourself? Anyone can be brave and boastful. It takes true wits and wisdom to be able to admit one's doubts. Barriss may have been able to make it to Irineth's den, but fate sees that only you will be able to await the trials within. And I have no doubt you will be tempered by your journey through the Darklands, where a misstep can be the end of you in an instant. You will be respectful of the lands, all of them, my granddaughter. You will reach your destination, and you'll come back to us, ready to usher us into a new age. Never forget that, Kayanani, for that is your future. The first step onto the haunting gray rock was the most unsettling. As her padded feet landed upon it, she felt the unfamiliar cold. It was more frigid than the desert at night, but she held fast to her grandfather's warning. Though the warm, earthy color of the ground beneath was inviting, she dared not begin her travels over it. That uncomfortable terrain took some time to acclimate to. Kayanani often tapped her staff against it, unsure of its stability. Sure enough, some of those boulders, as large as they were, rocked when her weight was placed upon them. She could hear the strange fauna far below her then. Their growls and hisses echoed out among the region, sending a chill up her spine. The proud Kaja warrior stood straighter at that uncomfortable shift, but she couldn't remain stoic once she heard those loud eruptions that seemed sure to make the whole continent shake. Those growls below quickly morphed into yelps and howls of terror. During that time, Kayanani didn't dare to move. Wary of the dangers just beneath her, she gripped her belongings fiercer than ever. Despite that unease, she peered between the rocks, hopeful to get a good glance at whatever horrors dwelled below. It was no use, though, for the boulders above cast down immense shadows, and in that time, while Kayanani scanned for those fearsome beasts, she noticed something else. The silence afterward was unlike anything she had ever heard. She blew out a gust of air and rose once more. An eastward glance showed just how far she had yet to travel. The uneven terrain rose and fell, and there was no clear indication of which path would lead her farthest from the beasts below. "Grandfather," she muttered, "where have you sent me?" The sounds of the Darklands were more prevalent the farther along Kayanani traveled. She had hoped she would grow accustomed to the cacophony. Instead, that horrid medley only managed to inspire more disquiet. Kayanani looked on, seeing only the long stretch of uneven boulders before her. It dawned on her then she was likely as far from one side as she was from the other. After all that time, she had learned how to pace herself. Even the farther rocks were easy to leap to, and her staff made the ascensions even easier. But her momentum always wavered when one of those tremendous rumbles shook the area. Her ears tucked back, and her tail flicked when two distinct tremors rippled through the stone into the pads of her feet. Her muscles went rigid, and she furrowed her brow as she dropped to her knees, imagining the terrors below. As they drew nearer to her, they grew in intensity. She had heard of immense creatures called elephants that dwelled in the savanna to the north. These beasts must have been just like them, charging through the place beneath, slamming into walls, chasing down lesser predators. She froze when she realized what occurred just beneath her. Those two huge monsters, whatever they were hunting each other. And one found the other. They struck so hard, it was as if Tellus itself had been split open. The boulder she rested on trembled from the might of that collision, and Kayanani cried out as the ground gave way beneath her. The entire boulder tipped forward, threatening to spill her into that frightening unknown. Just as quickly as the boulder began moving, though, it stopped and jutted up against another earthen pillar. That jolt pulsed through her, and the Kaja lost hold of her pack. She reached out to catch it as it slid, but to no avail. It fell away from her, and she could only watch as it plummeted to the ground far below. All that regret in seeing her supplies slip out of her hand was tossed away as the pack bounced off the earthen floor. In those following moments, she watched as the ground cracked and tore away, and she saw the monstrous, gaping maw of the creature that rumbled through the area. That beast could swallow her whole, she realized, as it ingested her pack with ease. Even if it didn't, rows of razor-sharp teeth assured the worm would make short work of any prey it committed to eating. Kayanani clutched her staff tightly, hopeful the beast couldn't see her from that distance. Those prayers seemed to be answered moments later as the monster withdrew back into the ground
its mottled brown scales dragging against the immense hole it had created. The surrounding dirt and stone fell into that pit, stirring into one complete terrain once again. Left alone, the Kaja rolled to her back and found the strength to breathe again. Kayanani found it curious she had no thoughts of food or drink for hours before she had seen the wretched worm. Yet then, separated from her pack, there was nothing she could think of more. Scavenger birds flew about the area, braving the lower levels of the Darklands whenever those hulking monsters left a scrap behind. That was bait, the Kaja realized, after the first time a worm returned to the surface to feast on new prey. Their appetites were indomitable. Kayanani could at least take solace in the thought that something in that dismal place was hungrier than her. She wondered if it was possible to mimic the creatures below and somehow attack the birds as they fluttered down to the hunting ground. But they always gave her too wide a berth, and though she was hungry, she discarded any thought of throwing her staff like a javelin. The last idea she dismissed was one where she would pretend to be a meal for those carrion birds. Kayanani clicked her tongue and sneered at the notion of spending any longer in the Darklands than she needed to. If those vultures swarmed her, there was no telling if she would slip into the darkness below. Instead, she kept her focus ahead, always looking to the next leap, the next broken boulder, wary of one that had been unsettled and unbalanced by those immense creatures. She was so intent on that search for the safest path that the end of the Darklands snuck up on her. The beast below and behind her ceased rumbling. The birds above never circled, and the stones and boulders grew in number and size. When she finally looked to the horizon, her body relaxed and felt lighter. She could fly if she wanted to. With renewed spirit, she charged forth, leaping across rocks and weaving a new path for herself. Her pace remained unwavering as she proceeded to her next challenge.